The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a haunted trip back to the one and only Amityville, New York.
That's right, Brent. Back to episode 5.
Thanks, which was Robert.
Amityville, wading through fact and fiction.
Here is a fact. You both suck ass.
Yeah, stay classy, my friend. Always worth a drop in there. Nothing new there. We are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, with we're gonna say a hell mouth. Reaching out to parts nice. Unknown, Colorado. I'm Brent Hand. He is David DeFlora.
Oi.
Or you choose your own adventure in that name. You can play with it. He doesn't mind at all. You can just call him whatever you want. The bots are here. So like it or not, this is Hysteria 51.
Yeah, once again, Brent, this topic, I didn't really cover it on Blurry
Files. Yeah, that's like a couple in the row that, I don't want to say I'm surprised, but... Were they two on the head, on the nose,
Or I always liked not doing the very big, well-known ones. So Amityville, having the film and all these new films and all that stuff, just didn't get around to it.
Man, we're going to get into those films. I made a list, and I don't think you've seen it yet. And when you see how many are in it, I don't want to give it away, but it's more than three.
Oh.
It's a little breaking, but the man, there. This is a big one though. You were at least your Amityville is like a, it's like, just a term people use. Oh, it's like Amityville. You know what I mean? Like you're
I've
at least familiar with
Amityville
it before, right?
Just, yeah.
You being the big Ryan Reynolds fan with the tattoo and everything. So
I don't know if I ever thought it was real or not.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It might've been a surprise when I finally heard, oh, that was based on a real story, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But, That's a wild one.
It is. And well, so, I mean, the one thing that we can absolutely say it's based on a real story is, unfortunately, we can't forget it all started with gruesome murders. And we're going to go back over this part of the story for you kind of quick. We're not a true crime show, as you know, but there are a lot of details here and it has to be gone through. And they are as follows. 112 Ocean Avenue, Amityville, New York. 11701. And this house is very famous. It's got a very distinct look. You can see it in a lot of movies. You can see it in Jaws. It's in the background in some scenes of Jaws.
That's great. And, well, that was Amity Island.
Ooh. The windows are what make it very famous looking, the old windows that are on it. And we are talking the DeFeo family. Ronald Sr. and Louise are the ma and pop. They bought the house on June 28th of 1964. And 10 years later, the house had grown to include Ronald Jr. or Butch, Don, Allison, Mark, and John Matthew. And they were having some problems with Butch or Ronald Jr. He was a drug user, violent towards the family. He was like fighting with his mom. They placed him in psychiatric care, and he had said that his dad was violent and all this stuff, and there's stories of he was with the mafia, and anyway, they have him locked up, but this proved to be useless. He refused to cooperate with the therapist and counselor, so they did what everyone does. What did they do to try to solve this?
Well, I'll tell you what. They showered him with gifts and money.
Yeah!
Which they just tried to pay him off.
Yeah. Hey, maybe if you stop acting like a shit, I'll give you money. for drugs. You know, reward shithead behavior.
not a great plan there.
Yeah. Plan. And like I said, drug stuff, he would spend the money on booze and drugs, including serious drug, LSD and heroin.
Wow.
My man.
Next thing you know, he's going to say that he was his dealer or something.
No, but we partied a lot.
Shut the fuck up. All right, so this panhandler went on and on until November 13th of 1974, getting very close to the birth of Brent Hand, so I could just, ooh, the world was getting ready. So that night, Junior Butch ran into the local bar called Henry's and shouted, "Please help me, I think my mother and father are shot." As you do. You don't hear that every time you go out. Sometimes. You don't. I don't hang out at the places you hang out. So friends took his car and they went to his house to find the entire family, sadly, had been shot in the back while in their beds. And that's an important part of this. They were all shot in the back. And that was a weird part because you'd think that there was no signs that any of them had even heard it or got up. How the fuck did they not hear someone shooting them? Which then brings up the, you know, how many people were involved, stuff like that.
And they were all belly sleepers.
Yeah, yeah, as you do, right? Immediately, Butch became a suspect. And he said that he felt mafia hitman Louis Fellini, I think is how you say it, was responsible. And they took him in, and they gave him hours and hours of questionings, and he kept saying the same thing, but... Then detectives found ammo matching the type used for the killings in his room, and they're like, "Nope, we got you," and they charge him for the murders.
Louis Fellini.
Fellini, yeah, yeah. He finally said, "It all started so fast. Once I started, I couldn't stop. It went so fast." And
they were like Pringles to me.
Yeah. Once you pop, you can't stop. That is fucking wow. Dark, I like it. So he goes to trial. He's given six consecutive life sentences for the crimes. And then he actually died March of 2021 in, he was still incarcerated until he went into the, he was in a hospital at the time at age 69. The official cause of death has not been released to the public. Interestingly enough, not that it really matters probably, but, it's a terrible tragedy. And, if that was a story, we'd probably not be talking about it. Not here, of course, but this is a story that doesn't stop. It keeps on giving. He just gives a lot.
Hang on. Let me tie something up here.
Yeah.
We said Fellini. We were talking about Ronald DeFeo Jr., right? Mm-hmm. He said Fellini did it, but they actually found the ammo in DeFeo's
room. Right.
Room. Yeah. He's the one that got questioned. He's the one that served life sentences.
Yep. Until so DeFeo Jr. 69. Yes.
Gotcha. Sorry. My bad.
No, thank you. Cause I probably made it sound weird. So thank you for keeping me on my toes.
Mr. Wagner.
So over the years, while he's incarcerated, Butch changed his story many times about what happened that night. And that's, how many fuckheads do that? All of them, right? They do that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
But one Butch. Version of the story caught the attention of the world. You see, Davey, Butchie said a demon had possessed his soul and told him to kill his family. Kill your family. God, no, I'm just bored. I don't want to. They would never get with me. Go kill. I'm not going anywhere, dude. It is hot outside.
Yeah. You have to promise me pizza.
That's just one of the many versions, and he ended up swearing towards the end that his sister Dawn carried out the murders, so he killed her.
Whoa.
And then if in the original episode that we did, we talk about that a lot, and could she have been involved, was her, you know, other people involved, and you know, there's a lot of speculation that, but Dawn's not a demon. So we can all see which version caught on. And,
you know, fun fact, no one
is. Right. No. And unfortunately, you know, this isn't the focus of this episode when I kind of come back, because in the first one, we didn't really focus as much on the Warrens and the investigation as much. And I think that's important here. There is a lot of stories. Even the house is built on an old Indian burial ground where they buried the dead upside down so they could never see the heavens and stuff like this. And then, I mean, there's so many stories, and it is worth going back and listening to our first one, but, enter the Lutz family. So in the summer of 1975, so just, you know, the next year, George, Kathy, and their three children that Kathy had actually had from previous marriage. They move into the house. You know, they see it. They fall in love with it. Oh, by the by, a bunch of murders here. Ah, who cares? Yay. You know, like, it's, but look at the view. And they moved their whole family in. And then they left after only 28 days, claiming that it was terrifyingly haunted. You know, just paranormal phenomenon going on nonstop. And enter the Warrens and Prophet and everything else. Ooh. That is just getting us up to speed a little bit with the, can't believe I'm skipping over a fucking six homicide, but, man, so why they leave, you know, what the Warrens say, all that stuff, that's coming up.
Flies, just a lot of flies.
A lot of flies. Yeah. Get out. That's coming up on Hysteria 51.
That poor house's voice was just because he accidentally swallowed one of those flies.
I don't know why I swallowed a fly.
Perhaps you'll die.
So, enter the paranormal. David, why don't you break down
a great song.
The crazy for us that was going on in this fucking story.
Well, you mean other than the demon from before?
Yeah, you know, just, you know, yeah, well. Just other than that. Well, but also that, we're going to get into that some. I mean, I'm sure, you know, a good demon keeps popping back up, you know.
You can't keep a good demon down.
Did you ever watch Supernatural?
No, you know, I haven't seen a single episode.
There's like a scene when Lucifer gets out and stuff. There's a scene, it cuts in, there's these two priests and they're doing an exorcism. The woman's like, you suck cocks and all that kind of shit, you know. And Lucifer pops in, he's like, oh, hey, what's going on? And the guy, and the woman, did, you know, the person, the demon possessed, turns, he goes, ah, oh, crap. And they're like, this person's in, you know, is possessed. He's like, ah, oh, that's just Phil, he's really low, Phil, get the hell out of here, and like snaps his finger and it goes out. I thought that's hilarious to me. Like, it's a really funny scene. And he's like, ah, they're just having some fun with you kind of thing. Like, they're just like, oh, shit, my boss is here, I got to go.
Is the show worth watching?
It is. And I didn't love the first part. It got into, it changed. I think it was very much worth watching. It was fun. Mm. You know, got away from just the monster of the week and more of a, I hate to say it, but a soap opera kind of thing, like an ongoing stories and stuff like that. But
which made it better.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we said, though,
it's on the list.
You know, so this paranormal, that the Let's Say was only there for a month and they claim that so much crap happened. Break down some of the paranormal stuff, if you will, that they say was happening, you know, in this house. That this is, well, the claims from the Lutz, the second family that bought it after the DeFeos had moved on.
Living on, you know, an oceanfront property, for some reason they had a problem with strange odors.
Why does this place smell like low tide? It's so crazy. It must be ghosts.
So they reported unexplained foul odors that would move from room to room. These smells were described as resembling rotting flesh or sulfur.
Ooh,
or
now maybe look at that,
just
sulfur.
Like old oysters.
It smelled like left out McDonald's wrappers. It's strange. We found a bunch of them under the couch, though. You know, it's just
upside down W's. I mean, sorry, upside down M's, which are W's.
This place is haunted, and the ghost keeps saying "rubble, rubble." It's fucking terrifying.
So they also had
cold
spots.
I'm not loving it.
Anyway, cold spots, temperature fluctuations. Yeah. This is another thing. Besides the fact that it was heated, there were sudden and extreme cold spots in various parts of the house. They were often accompanied by an unsettling feeling.
Do you like how I threw in there the house was heated? Because everywhere I looked, I said, even though they had a furnace.
Sure. Well, you know, drafts, an old house has a lot of nooks and crannies that leak air.
That is true. That is true.
How about this one? Green slime and black goo. Now, Brent's going to break down for you the difference between slime and goo. Go, Brent.
You got to put it in your mouth. You go, and when you move your lips across, if it keeps stringy, it's slime. And if it just stays attracted to each lip, it's goo. Best way to know which is which if you can't see the
that,
color.
Now, he read that off of Wikipedia.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the Lutzes claim to have seen a greenish-black slime oozing from the, the walls. Now, wait a minute. Ooze should be its own category, too, I think.
Slime goo ooze.
Slime that's oozing or goo that's sliming. Or ooze that's gooing from the walls and the keyholes of the house. This substance was said to appear and disappear without explanation.
Meanwhile, the kid has his He-Man slime playset.
I loved those.
Oh, man. And they had the Teenage Ninja Turtle ones and stuff. My mom would never let me have them.
Yeah, I
was going to get all over the house.
Pretty sure a lot of parents were, like that. But anyways... especially if you know, you had all that carpeting.
They kept seeing this black stuff appear. It almost looked like mold, and it was in the shower and the basement. It was so it was terrifying.
Just this drippy, gooey stuff that would show up anytime anyone sneezed. They would also see moving objects. They reported moving objects that would, you know, scoot across the room on their own. Mm-hmm. George Lutz claimed to have witnessed doors slamming shut by themselves again. Drafty house, windows opening, closing, furniture being rearranged. I doubt there's any weather on the ocean front there. I doubt there's wind. Anyway, mysterious noises to add to
rabble. Let's see, we already went over those.
we've got odors. There's smell. We've got cold spots. That's feeling. There's moving objects. That's sight. We've got noises. That's hearing. They literally. What are we missing there?
Well, we're gonna get to it. I think there's some touch coming up too. Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
But they did hear family. Like knocks, footsteps, and the sound of a marching band that seemed to be coming from the walls.
Sure, man. I was. Yeah, in
I see this
band.
Lot. You're haunted by a marching band. Terrible accident happened here in the 60s. It's all tuba players.
They're playing Beatles' greatest hits. We got physical sensations and attacks.
Attack.
Kathy Lutz reported being physically attacked by an unseen force. She claimed to have felt an unseen presence touch her and even experienced being levitated from her bed.
Oh, man. Who hasn't had that? Just waking and then, up levitating. She sleeps above the covers. 6 feet above the covers.
Are you the gatekeeper? Are you the keymaster? apparitions and figures saw. George Lutz reported seeing ghostly figures and demonic entities. He claimed to have seen a pair of glowing red eyes staring at him through a window and a hooded figure moving around the house.
Yeah, those red eyes, that's a big one. You know, it's a picture a lot of people have created that's kind of famous with Amityville. And, you know, if I saw that, I would be fucking shitting a purple Twinkie myself, you know, if probably it really happened. Yet to do it, but I'm willing to.
And then there were behavioral changes.
Yeah, yeah.
George Lutz experienced drastic changes in his behavior. Uh-huh. He became increasingly irritable, aggressive, and obsessed with the fireplace, which he kept burning continuously to stay warm.
Now, I can... say if this was true, all this was happening, I bet people would get easily agitated and snippy towards one another.
Sure.
Now they were talking about he had drastic changes where he's just like, I fucking can't, you know, and like something was taking over. But I do believe that if this was happening, some sort of a change would probably be normal. But, you know, normal changes don't come around when you have the next thing, which is one of my favorites, Mr. Piggy. Not Mrs. Mr.
Mr. Piggy, he sounds like this.
Yeah.
You're going to fuck me, Kermit. You're going to fuck me so hard.
One of the more famous claims was the sighting of a pig-like creature with the glowing red eyes. Yeah. They named this creature Jody.
Hey, Jody.
Because she was, it was said to appear to their young daughter, Missy, who spoke of it as her imaginary friend.
So, Missy, what's your imaginary friend? It's a giant pig creature with glowing red eyes. Name's Jody. But not to be outdone, because we know Missy's seen it, but then there'd be fresh snowfall, and they would see cloven hoof footprints in the snow around the house. Jody's just going for a walk. And they said it couldn't be attributed to any known animals in the area. had to been
no cloven hoofed animals.
It had to been that fucking bad guy from what was that? Mighty Morphin Power Rangers or whatever, you know, like or you know, Rocksteady and Bebop were hanging out outside. You know,
so yeah, and then this is probably my favorite one. Bleeding walls. In some accounts, they described seeing the walls and other surfaces bleed a red substance, which added to the overall sense of horror and dread in the house.
Yeah. You know, just, hey, is that blood on the wall? I feel dread. Just an overall malaise.
And, yeah, so, fuck these guys for feeling that.
Bye-bye house, 28 daters. They are fucking moving. Now, I remember when we did this before, John was like, there's no way I would ever move. That was his I don't believe a moment. But if this really was happening, I might be like, I'm getting the fuck out of there. How do you feel on that? If you all your money into a house, which they got this house incredibly cheap, you know, because fucking six people had just been slaughtered inside of it. do you, let's say something crazy really happened, do you think that you would be reaching out and trying to figure it out, or will you just be deucing out of there and packing up and letting go?
You know, if in 1975, I'd probably leave because houses were a fucking dime a dozen. But now, if I bought a house and that shit would happen, I'd be like, I'm either going to live with you or I'm going to fight you because I cannot afford to leave.
If there's time to haunt, there's time to clean, Jody. So get on your fucking hooves. Start straightening up or we're having ham tonight. Just bathing in holy water every night and just dealing with it. So a lot of these stories that came to light because they were documented in this guy named Jay Anson's book that came out in 77, The Amityville Horror, which is a name you all know. And that's what popularized the story and led to numerous adaptations in film, book, media. Oh, so fucking many that we're going to touch on. And the Lutz family maintained that their accounts were true. But let's take a look at who got involved and see what we think, if we can. Yeah. Enter the Warrens. Now, the Warrens also you hadn't done on Blurry Photos, huh?
Correct.
So we got Ed and Lorraine Warren, about as well-known figures in the paranormal field as you can get. And Ed was a demonologist, and Lorraine was a self-proclaimed clairvoyant and light trance medium. Sounds like an EDM break-off or something like that. he was self-taught demonologist and author, and you know, he was born in 26, died in 2006. She was born in 27, died in 2019. I'm saying all this. We need to pump up our resumes. If you just self-claim, I can claim a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a self-taught gynecologist. You know, I'll take a look. You know, like, I mean, shit. I just wanted to be a gist, and this is the first thing that came to mind. So anyway, they together founded the New England Society for Psychic Research, NESPR, in 1952, and that's one of the oldest ghost hunting groups in the United States, and that's
and
true.
Then they spent the rest of their lives trying to get people to stop saying NESPR. Don't call it that.
Stop it.
Takes away from the legitimacy.
They made a lot of claims, like the claim that they investigate over 10,000 cases during their careers. I've seen where people have broken that down, and they would have to do like hundreds a day or what. There's just no way, you know, like just. Well, I read something, I investigated it. Now, that alone, you know, that's the subject of ridicule, but it's not something, we're not going to let that stop us, you know, just that they're saying crazy shit, because outside of just Amityville, they have some very well-known cases that they quote-unquote investigated. And starting off, we got Annabelle. You know, the Warrens were involved with a supposedly haunted doll named Annabelle, a Raggedy Ann doll, not that fucking thing in the movies, which they claimed was possessed by a malevolent spirit, and it's housed in their occult museum, which they actually own. And on top of that, huge shout out to Daniel Moyer, who he sent me my very own Annabelle. He got me a
nice.
So not only did he buy me an Annabelle, or a Raggedy Ann, he put a Hannibal Lecter mask on her, and he like bound her arms together. And he's like, here, put it in your studio. And he put like a time delayed speaker in it. I didn't realize. And I'm sitting there and it's just like, and then I was like, want to play with me? Or I forget what all it said. And I like reached out to him. He's like, I was waiting. I was hoping you'd hear it. I was like, fuck you, dude. That's hilarious.
That's so good. So well played.
another
thing also, like, you know, that's the Raggedy Ann doll, yeah. Right? Like, but in the movies and stuff, they've got this creepy
porcelain evil looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they had the Enfield poltergeist in London. The investigative case involving a family who experienced violent poltergeist activity. And it was later in the film, The Conjuring 2. Lots of weird stuff in that story about what was faked and not. The Perron family, the Warrens investigated the haunting of the Perron family, I'm sorry, in Rhode Island, which is depicted in the film The Conjuring, the first one. Have you watched The Conjuring and the Annabelle movies, The Conjuring universe, I guess you could call it?
Have you seen those? I have seen The Conjuring. I haven't seen much else from there.
I got to give you a spoiler. Good on them for casting who they did, but they did not look like that.
I was going to say, yeah.
Man, it's two just beautiful people, and then you're like, ooh, when you see the other. They're real Warrens.
Yeah.
It's terrible to say.
You yeah, know. Well. It's
easy for me. I'm fucking gorgeous. I'm fucking stunning. But you know how it is.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll get back to some of the Warren stuff, but there's there's like all kinds of shit that's that has gone hand in hand with what they brought to the table,
yeah,
including like grooming accusations.
Well, so we'll get into that. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to break them down some more. Let's go to break and then we'll talk the investigation. Then we'll get to the issues with them if that works for you.
Sure. Yeah. Why not? That's a little teaser for you.
Yeah, we're going to get to grooming. That's coming up after this on Hysteria 51. All right, so hit me with some investigation-ish stuff that they did, if you will. I threw ish on there, so you can do with that what you please.
You threw what?
You can do with that ish, my ish dig as you please.
I'm not dealing with you. You deal with your own issues.
I'm dealing with with fucking Jody right now. You know, so.
So they were introduced to the case when they were contacted by Marvin Scott, who sounds like a character on something.
I'm Marvin Scott. You might remember me from other haunting cases I reported on, like the fucked up house on the corner, and I don't know. The house at Pooh Corner.
I was going to say it sounds like a newscaster, but then, yeah, he's a news reporter with Channel 5 New York, who had a long-standing relationship with these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Scott had previously worked with the Warrens on other investigations and invited them to participate in a paranormal investigation of the Amityville house.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that different from the other types of investigations? Anyway.
Well, yeah, not the police, but the real people that are going to get to the bottom of it.
The Warrens visited the house February 24th, 1976, along with a team that included a reporter, a photographer, and other investigators.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and a millionaire and his wife and
a model.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Anyway,
there's so many claims for this night that like what happened. Many a movie.
Yeah, on this,
but
yeah.
The highlights are as follows. Ooh. Lorraine felt psychic impressions.
Oh, I'm getting impressed.
She's self-proclaimed clairvoyant, yeah. So she self-proclaimed she felt stuff. And
yeah, me too.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, man, we can just make claims.
Yeah, we got to claim something.
Yeah, David's a clairvoyant, and I can sense things through sex. So... your lack of interest in me. Not yours.
So she reported feeling an overwhelming sense of a demonic presence during their investigation. Yeah. She claimed to have psychic visions and experiences that suggested the presence of malevolent entities. Yeah,
one that could start its own universe. Maybe or a podcast. Nun, a Valak or something. Yeah.
So they looked for physical evidence, claimed to have captured various pieces of evidence, including photographs that allegedly showed ghostly apparitions.
Yeah.
One of the most famous being a young boy with glowing eyes peeking out of a doorway.
Yeah, now that one, you know, people are like, oh my God. And then other people are like, no, that boy was there, or that was so-and-so. It just looks like someone around the corner, but they say there was no one there. Then other people that were there say, no, there that was so-and-so. So, fuck, who knows?
Sunglasses.
Yeah. That's all less of their diagnosis, though. What did they say?
There, it came back. Ding, demonic infestation.
Yeah. So, hate to tell you, but your house is plagued by a powerful demonic infestation. they believe that was literally responsible for the phenomenon experienced by the Lutz family. Mm-hmm. Maybe what had gotten a hold of DeFeo, or maybe he was full of shit, but his actions brought that upon the house, kind of thing.
Yeah.
They skirted that whole part of it, you know. Could this be a real demonic spot? You know, Butch DeFeo says it was a demon. The Lutz family say the place is haunted. The Warrens say it's haunted or possessed, or however you want to say it. You can decide. You know, it's, you know, that's not what we're here for. You know, we're here to shed some light on the Warrens so that you can have a more educated look at it. I know that when I've brought up Warrens to people, some people in the paranormal world that like it get very cagey when you bring up facts about the Warrens they don't like. That's an interesting thing to me. And there's a lot of controversies and criticisms, and let's just dig into them. We all know that skeptics and researchers have questioned the validity of the Lutzes and the Warrens' claims. That's just always. It's the nature of the business. No matter who you are, when you hear that a ghost or something like that, or even if you know someone, they said they had an experience, you're like, yeah, right. But critics argue that the stories were exaggerated or just out and out fabricated for financial gain. This is an ongoing theme with the Warrens, financial gain.
And there have been people who've worked with them that have said as much, right?
Yes. You know, that's, so the big smoking gun here, speaking of that, is William Weber, Ronald DeFeo Jr.'s defense attorney. So Big Willie here, he claimed that he, along with the Lutzes, concocted the horror story over several bottles of wine.
Right.
As a way to gain publicity and a possible book deal. And the Warrens played ball with them, even instructing them on what to say or how to act at times. And that all culminated in the book we mentioned before, the 77 book, The End of Horror Janison. It was based on the experience of the Lutz family and included material from the Warrens' investigation. That literally became a bestseller, and it really popularized the case.
Yeah.
And when I say popularized it, holy fucking shit, man. This led to so many books, films, spinoffs. You know, the Conjuring universe Conjuring has spun off into a couple different, the Annabelle, the Nun, all this shit. I'm ready for the Annabelle and the Nun's porn video where they just scissor, but that's going to take a bit.
Jeez.
I'm ready.
I mean, was there any other thing like this out there at the time? And I'm not saying that to be like rhetorical.
No, because of the murders. The murders is what set this apart. There were other times.
Which was a real event connected to it.
Yes. So this is the house and the DeFeo. Yes. Right. Yes.
Thank you. I mean, there was. You could make a case for like the Villisca Axe Murder House, mm-hmm. the Myrtles Plantation, probably mm-hmm. the Bolskeen House in Scotland. Like there are haunted locations and all that stuff.
I think this was just so bang, boom, pow. Guy murders his family, goes to jail. Next family moves in. They say it's haunted. Then all this stuff starts coming out and people are like, holy shit.
Yeah. I don't know that the others, had. Fiction written about them
or as good of a publicist
pseudo history. Yeah.
You know, that's something to keep in mind. And look, right. So let's go over this part of it because this is just fucking crazy. So books. I'm going to go over books and movies. This is just some of them for the books. The Amityville Horror, that first one, 77. Murder in Amityville. It serves as a prequel to the Amityville Horror. Amityville Horror Part 2, 1982, which was a John G. Jones. It serves as kind of a sequel to the Amityville Horror. Amityville, the Final Chapter. That's a little presumptuous. Then Amityville, the Evil Escapes. The Amityville Curse. Amityville, the Horror Returns. Amityville, the Nightmare Continues. High Hopes, the Amityville Murders. Those are some of the books written on it. Are you ready for the fucking movies?
Yeah.
Are you fucking ready? Here we go. This is all I could find. This does not mean it's all of them. Holy shit. The Amityville Horror, Amityville 2, The Possession, Amityville 3D, Amityville Horror, The Evil Escapes, The Amityville Curse, Amityville, It's About Time, Amityville, A New Generation, Amityville Dollhouse, The Amityville Horror, The Amityville Haunting, The Haunted Amityville Tapes, The Amityville Asylum, Amityville Death House, Sickle, which is related to, retitled Amityville, The Final Chapter, The Amityville Playhouse, Amityville, aka The Amityville Theater, The Unspoken, which was the origin of the Amityville Terror in Spanish-speaking areas, Amityville Vanishing Point, The Amityville Terror, The Amityville Legacy, also reissued with as Amityville Toy Box, Amityville No Escape, Amityville Exorcism, Amityville Evil Never Dies, also known as Amityville Clown House, Amityville The Awakening, Amityville Prison, aka Against the Night, Amityville Witch Activity, The Amityville Murders, We're Not Halfway Through, Amityville Mount Jeez. Misery Road, Amityville Dawn, Scared Stiff 2, The Amityville Whore, Amityville Island, Amityville
That's
Vibrator.
That's what you were waiting for, wasn't it?
What's that?
Wasn't that the one you were waiting for?
Exactly.
The Amityville Whore?
Very much whore. Then don't forget that was Amityville Whore. Yeah, the Amityville right. Whore. Amityville Vibrator, which is an Amityville Academy. Yeah, the Amityville Harvest, an Amityville Poltergeist, Amityville Hex, Amityville Vampire, Amityville Cult, Amityville Scarecrow, the Amityville Moon, Amityville Cop, Amityville Cabin, Amityville in the Hood, Amityville Yikes. Uprising, Amityville Outhouse, Amityville Gas Chamber, Amityville in Space, and the fucking, the cover is, oh, it's just, look that one up. Amityville Karen, Amityville Christmas Vacation, Amityville Thanksgiving, Amityville Scarecrow 2, I didn't see Scarecrow 1, Ghost of Amityville, aka Amityville Clown, the Amityville Cute Farting Cat, Amityville Rideshare, Amityville Death Toilet, Amityville Frankenstein, Amityville Job Interview, Amityville Elevator, Amityville Emmanuel, that's probably another porn, the Amityville Curse, Subhuman, the Amityville Experiment, the Amityville Slasher, Amityville Apocalypse, the Lost Amityville Movie, Amityville last. Bigfoot, the last, thank you, Amityville Ripper, and Amityville Backpack. Holy fucking holy.
At some point, they just started opening dictionaries and pointing to
Amityville, the cute farting cat, has got to be just a masterpiece. Jesus. A fucking masterpiece. All that Jesus. From the Warren's involvement and the Lutzes and shit. That's a lot. But as time goes by, like more and more shit is piled up.
I hope you
up.
Put music under that, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like, soft rock or something.
Soft core what? Oh. So just as time goes by, shit's piled up in the Warrens. They're not held in the best light anymore for a number of reasons. But then again, none of that is touched on in the Conjuring movies. And there's a few reasons for it. So the church has a perception, they had a complicated relationship with the Warrens. So the church generally does not officially endorse specific paranormal investigators. The Warrens would claim to have worked with Catholic priests on various exorcism hauntings, and there is proof that they have at times, though then they would deny that. Some within the church are supportive, others have remained skeptical. You can decide on that one. But there's a lot of skeptics who criticize them out there. A lot of the researchers have criticized their methods and claims. Authors that investigated, such as Stephen Avella and Benjamin Radford, they're both people that investigated them, and they questioned the veracity of the Warren stories and lack of empirical evidence supporting their cases. They just wouldn't supply it.
Right.
you know, and that's
he literally said, I took a picture or a video or something of this ghost. Can we see it? No.
No. Yep.
You cannot. Come on.
People they have worked with to help came forward and said that they coached them and fed them what to say, stage things, things like that. Others have worked with them said that they would find evidence when no one else was around or had been taken. You know, they had to take Lorraine's word because she was a medium and you just had to believe her.
Right.
And then the big one to me, you touched on this is sexual misconduct allegations. So in 2017, it was revealed that Ed Warren allegedly had a long-term relationship with an underage girl who lived with the Warrens starting in 63 when she was 15. And it's came out of the woodwork. A lot of people have said this, so it's pretty much known. Judy Penny came forward claiming that the Warrens initiated a relationship with her when she was, like we said, 15, and she lived with the Warrens, and Lorraine was absolutely aware of the relationship and condoned it. And she said that Ed would ply her with alcohol and fuck her and force himself on her, and he would get her drunk because it was easier. And then she eventually just, you know, gave into it. She claimed the relationship continued until her mid-30s, and during it, Ed was controlling and abusive, and she described him having a volatile temper and claimed he would manipulate, intimidate, do anything to keep her under, you know, the classic, mm-hmm. You're nothing without me. And
yeah,
Lorraine supporters, you know, have denied, the Warrens, but, you know, especially Lorraine supporters have denied these allegations. They said it was part of a smear campaign. Their reputation in the paranormal community is well established. Well, it is well established, but it's a little all over the
infamous
place. Yeah. And they point the lack of legal charges, you know, filed against Ed regarding these, so much time had gone by and shit like that.
I mean, if he's abusive and threatening. And yeah.
You know, you just, you it's scary to try to leave, you know. No matter what, you know, they benefited from Amityville. It's the Bob Lazar. Oh, I'm innocent. You know, I didn't make no money. Then charges people. The Warrens, along with the Lutzes, they benefited from the media attention, book sales, movie deals, all that shit. And this boosted the Warrens' profile. And then they're all of a sudden, they're the prominent figures in paranormal investigation field. We got movies and shit about them now. And so, like I said earlier, remember, Lorraine didn't die till 2021.
Yeah.
She was a consultant on these first movies and stuff, you know, and I would go as far as say that Amityville, that case cemented them as leading paranormal investigators. And remember, this is the time when people could just look up things. You're just like, oh, they did this, and you took it at face value a lot of time. And led to further high-profile cases like the Enfield Poltergeist, Annabelle Doll, shit like that. Now, you know, throw a fucking wrench in it, new owners say the house not haunted, it's all BS. You know, it's been sold a couple times, and the other people have not allowed anyone really in there to investigate. They just say it's all bullshit. What do you think?
Me?
Sum it up. Do you sum it up? Don't you like that? I just throw that on there. I mean, this just feels
it's all bullshit.
Yes, I agree too. You know, it's just gross to me. You know, and there are real people that need help in situations like this. I think, you know, things are really happening. And it's gross that these grifters destroy that.
They often will prey on vulnerable people, you know, people who are drug users or mm-hmm. abusers, people who are poor and they don't have many options, people who have mental mm-hmm. Deficiencies or just, you know, they're easy targets for scammers.
Yes.
And, you know, when you claim to be able to do all this stuff and know all this paranormal junk, and yet you cannot produce empirical evidence ever, you'd think that would just completely shut you down immediately.
Right.
But it's just it also we live in an age, maybe even just a culture, where the more you claim shit, the more people just believe you.
A lot of people want to believe.
They want to believe it, and it's not so easy to critically think, you know, for a lot of people in our culture, I feel mm-hmm. like. And just the smallest bit of critical thinking would stop all this shit. But it's not a, it's not, it's a skill. It's a muscle you have to develop and work on. And
right,
not a lot of people have the time or energy or, you know, wherewithal to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's for them in particular, it's kind of sad and kind of clear in hindsight, I guess. At the time, who knows, you know, what else are you going to do? Like you said, you can't look this stuff up. You kind of have to rely on word of mouth. You have to trust people. They were throwing around God and religion, yeah, you know, like crazy, which at the time, especially then, people, you know, you're supposed to trust that right, religious folks are on the up and up and everything like that. Now, you also have your televangelists coming into the zeitgeist. Yeah. So obviously, you know, in hindsight, that's mm-hmm. not the people you should be trusting. So there's a lot that goes into it. It's always gray. There's no black and white, like, well, these people were idiots for believing that the Warrens could help them. There's always more to it, but, the story in particular, like it just sounds like, especially with the lawyer saying we got drunk and made up all this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, like, you know, how do you trust him as well? What are the credentials you're supposed to judge that by? But you still are just like, that's a simpler Occam's razor than demonic infestation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to prove, if you say that it was a story that was made up, that's a pretty simple explanation compared to demons, which then you have to prove the existence of God. You have to prove the existence of Satan, the evil entities, demons, a hell, all of this. There's a lot to prove with that, which is, I'm going to say, nigh impossible to prove.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but it's a good story. And that's what people want, ultimately. So they got a good story out of it. There's a franchise that, and you know, that Conjuring shit, that just came out in the last like decade or so, yeah, didn't it? Like,
yes.
Like that's
still going strong. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Now it's a franchise and all that. But like the Amityville horror, super creepy classic horror film.
Mm-hmm.
That's near the top of like, you know, some of the creepiest stuff. It's up there with The Exorcist and Poltergeist. Yeah. That it's a freaky movie that helped this immensely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, the book's one thing, but that fucking film,
mm-hmm.
you know, putting it visually for people, that's kind of what blew this, wide open. And then they went back and were like, let's tell the story mm-hmm. from a different angle.
Yeah. Like when Amityville was in the hood or, you know, or in space. I don't know. I think you summed it up really well. And I mean that, like, you know, it's, pick your battles, but, you know, but, don't
have such an open mind.
Don't let it fall open out though. You know, out. Like,
yeah,
don't let your brain fall out, you know, but keep an open mind kind of thing. What do you guys think? Were we crazy? Is it all true? Do you know something that we don't know? Well, we'd love to hear that. And, you can tell us a bunch of different ways. You can, well, hop on Facebook, go to Hysteria Nation. That's the easiest way. Just Facebook, search Hysteria Nation. Facebook.com/Hysteria51 or Hysteria51 pod, that is our regular page. We have Patreon, patreon.com/Hysteria51. Or tell us in a voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277.
Weird. At Hysteria51.com.
You got that.
Send
right.
us some weird news.
We sure will.
Or just stuff you want us to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And if you forget this stuff, hysteria51.com. Easy peasy. Find everything on there. You can even leave voicemails through there. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell a demon. Tell Jody if you can find him, her, whatever it is. Maybe it was Miss Piggy. I don't know. And let us know your thoughts. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bob.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible!
terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.